Blog Talk Radio. and welcome to Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson, and today on the program, I'll be talking with David Mason, author of Marketing Your Small Business for Big Profits. I think the quote on the back of this book actually sums up what we'll be talking about today the best, and it reads, "If you are ready for success, then this book will inspire you to take your business and your life to the next level." David Mason is the president of Mason Performance Development, a speaking, training, and coaching company. As a performance development coach and marketing strategist, David has worked with small business owners, entrepreneurs, and sales and service professionals from around the world. He helps his clients get through the sticking point, get set goals, and take purposeful action towards achieving those goals. David left behind a career as a research biologist to pursue his entrepreneurial urges. He has started, built, and successfully sold two service businesses. This has led him to where he is today, and he is right here today. So welcome to Inside Scoop Live, David.
Thanks, Juanita. It's great to be here.
Well, good. So congratulations on your book. I think this is your first book, correct?
It is, yes.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So tell us, I mean, this is quite a leap from a research biologist to one in business marketing and performance development. How did all of this happen?
Sure. I started my career as a research biologist, and I absolutely loved what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I eventually got frustrated with the direction that my career was going, and I started to realize what work-related stress was for the first time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided that that was probably the time for me to follow my entrepreneurial urges. I had always wanted to have my own business, and I had taken business courses, so I took a giant leap of faith, and I left behind a career as a biologist and started my own service business, and I poured everything I had into that business. I tell people I didn't give myself the luxury of failure, and what I mean by that is that most people know that 90% of small businesses go bankrupt within the first 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and I wasn't about to use that as a crutch. The only way for me to go was to be successful, so I took everything I had and I put into that business, and it started growing, but one day I had this epiphany, and it was that I had gotten into business to have a better quality of life, and I realized I'd given up my life for the business.
Yeah, right.
Which is not, you know, it's not uncommon for entrepreneurs and small business owners to dedicate their entire waking life
mm-hmm.
to their business.
That's true.
And so I kind of drew this line in the sand and said, you know what, if this business is going to work, it's going to work for me, and not the other way around. So I started, and I know this sounds like a cliche, but I started working smarter instead of just harder. And I started working on the business as well as in the business. And it seemed to make all the difference in the world. The business took right off, and it became more successful. And I was able to take my life back and dedicate more time to my family.
Mm-hmm.
Then one day I had another epiphany, and that was, this wasn't my calling.
Oh,
so, I realized I wanted to play a bigger game, and so, you know, after a lot of soul searching and introspection, I came up with what I do now, and so I decided at that point I needed to invest in a lot of ongoing education. So
mm-hmm.
I took professional speaker training. I got certified as a coach. I became a certified trainer. I'm actually a board certified hypnotherapist, but it actually fits. I don't operate a hypnotherapy clinic, but I do have a good understanding of human psychology and behavior as it pertains to the small business. And that was, I guess, the path that I took from research biologist to speaker, trainer, and coach.
That is so fascinating, David. I mean, really, I'm really interested in this idea of work-related stress that you were experiencing as a research biologist because, you know, most people thinking about going into business for themselves, I mean, that's just got, you know, stress in capital letters for them right there. So, you know, it's interesting that you found that it was less stressful developing your own business.
Oh, well, I think in the beginning it was a different type of stress.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then I was able to, using a lot of the things that I've outlined in the book, I was able to really take a lot of that stress away because I found at the time that, if you follow what everybody else is doing, it's pretty much a recipe for disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it's stress with capital letters.
Mm-hmm.
And I stumbled onto the realization that marketing was the key to a successful small business.
Mm-hmm. So there are so many marketing books already obviously in print today. Why write this book, and you know, what sets this book apart?
Yeah, I guess the difference between mine and a lot of other ones, and you're right, there's university textbooks on just on the topic of the definition of marketing, and mine is more of a street level type of approach where it's low and no fee marketing. It's things that you can do on a shoestring budget to actually increase the awareness of your business. And maybe a good thing to do would be just for me to define the way I see marketing, and that is anything that you do on a consistent basis that lets other people become more aware of you, your product, or your service. And I think the key component there is on a consistent basis. I have this quote that I have on pretty much all of my marketing collateral, and it's throughout the book, and that is that success is based on consistency and persistency, not magic. And too many people try something once and think, well, you know what, I got poor results, that's it, I'm not going to do that again, or I've already done that, and they easily take themselves out of the game by not giving it a consistent effort.
Mm-hmm. And persistence, so that's, you think those are that's the magic right there?
Well, I think so, yeah. I think that, you know, we'll take direct marketing for an example. If you sent out one mailing to your target market and you had maybe fair results, you may decide that, well, that's it for this piece. Now I have to come up with a whole new marketing strategy. Most people would find that if they sent out mailing number two and follow that up with mailing number three, that the next two actually equaled the results that they got from the first one. But if they hadn't followed that up persistently, they would have missed out on half of their results. So, I think on a consistent basis, you need to be constantly doing something that lets other people become more aware of you, your product, and your service.
Now, do you think most people are not natural marketers, that they do have to, you know, get coaching, get training, get a book, you know, just keep educating themselves on it?
I think that is the case. I think that a lot of people, they hear the word the first thing that most people think of when you hear the word marketing is advertising.
Uh-huh.
And advertising is a form of marketing, but it's not all of marketing. And actually, on the hierarchy of marketing strategies, advertising is one of the lowest rungs on the ladder. And so, yeah, I think your statement is probably bang on, and that is that most people aren't aware of what marketing entails, and therefore they give up on that idea. And too many people get into business, and I'll use an example of a restaurant. People start a restaurant because either they enjoy cooking or they like the restaurant environment. And so they get wrapped up in the technical aspect of what they do, but they miss entirely the business aspect of it. And so what I try to do is get people to take on the marketing mindset, and that is that they're not in the business of selling food. They're in the business of marketing the food that they sell.
Mm.
And that sounds like semantics.
But
I'm just playing with words.
No, it's a big difference, though.
Oh, huge difference.
Yeah.
Wrap your head around that. You start to see on a daily basis, you start to see things that that you could use in your own marketing, you know, things from other industries that you say, you know what, I could use that, and that will work in my restaurant business or my pizzeria or my retail store. It doesn't matter. You can change whether you're selling pizzas or doing heart and lung transplants or pulling teeth or selling houses. The marketing stays the same. It's letting other people know what you do on a consistent basis.
Mm-hmm. And that's the marketing mindset that you explain in your book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about considering yourself. I'll step back just a step here and say if instead of seeing yourself as the technician, if you can wrap your head around the fact that you're a business person first and foremost, and the fact that you're not actually doing the technical aspects, you're actually in the business of marketing the technical aspects. And so to put that into terms that everybody could understand, if you were a home inspector, you're not in the business of conducting home inspections. You're in the business, and that's important, you're in the business of marketing the home inspections that you conduct. And once you accept that fact, then it changes the way you view your entire business. No longer are you the technician and the blue-collar person. You're now, it may be a trade, but it's now a white-collar trade.
Mm-hmm. So as a person that obviously you know a lot about human behavior, I imagine there would be blocks that would be, you know, kind of in the way of people making that shift, because that really is kind of a shift in perception. Is there any common factors that you see with people trying to make that shift?
Well, you know what, a lot of people, and I think I touched on this a bit earlier, but a lot of people take themselves out of the game instantly. When somebody suggests, you know, you might want to try this, too many people get caught up in the mind chatter and the self-talk, and you have to be really careful about what you talk to yourself about because you start to believe it. And if somebody suggests something to you and you instantly say, oh, I've already tried that, or that won't work in my business, or instantly, as soon as you say those negative things, you stop the learning process. And, you know, maybe trying it one more time is all it takes. And the other thing is, a lot of times when we try something and it doesn't work, when it's presented to us again in the future and we think, oh, that won't work, I've done that before, we're already a different person. Each day you wake up, you're a different person than you were the day before because your experiences from each day make you somebody new. And so your business is the same. It's a growing entity. And so as time goes on, your business is something different too. And who's to say that today, what you tried a year ago, today it might be very successful when you try it.
So how important is it then to have a marketing plan and then a marketing plan that you assess, you know, at different points and allow for changes in it, like the changes that you're talking about, you know, a year down the road, you're a different person, the business is in a different space. Talk to us about marketing plans.
Oh, yeah, the marketing plan is extremely powerful, and I think that's the natural next step where people drop the ball. You know, if they do get through the part of actually coming up with that marketing mindset and wrapping their heads around the fact that they're in a business, a lot of people still get up each day and do what they did the day before, and then they go home at the end of the day and complain about the results they've got. So marketing plan is... I liken it to taking a drive. You know, if you don't have a marketing plan in your business, it's the same as going out and jumping in your car and driving aimlessly. It's like a Sunday drive. You're operating your business in the same fashion. You have there's no destination to reach because you haven't determined it. So coming up with a marketing plan is essentially saying that we'll use a short term, 6 months for instance. 6 months from now, this is where I would like to be with my business. These are the goals that I have for the business. Maybe it's revenue goals, maybe it's staffing goals, whatever. As long as it's specific goals, now you know where you want to be. Now you need to come up with a plan that's going to actually take you there. And so if you say that, you know what, every day I'm literally going to go every day and make sure that I've done something to make sure that somebody who wasn't aware of me that day is now aware of me. I'm going to consistently run an ad in this particular medium. I'm going to do some speaking. I'm going to do presentation. Whatever it is, as long as you've mapped it out, then you'll have something to follow. The other thing is, I can tell you right now that the chances of you using your marketing plan decrease exponentially with the number of pages in the plan.
Oh, gosh.
So don't go write a giant 50-page report on what you're going to do for your marketing because you'll never pick it up again.
It sounds a little obsessive, too.
Yeah. Now, if you can boil your marketing plan down to just one page, it's really easy to take a glance at that. And if you photocopy it and stick it by your computer and over by your phone and somewhere in your own office, there's more opportunity for you to see it throughout the day and say, you know what, I haven't done that yet. Maybe I should take the next 10 minutes and knock this one off the list. So the quicker and simpler it is, the easier it is and the more likely you are to use it.
So how do you address the marketing plan in marketing your small business for big profits? Is this like, do you offer worksheets, tools? How do you address that?
Actually, in the book, I have several templates throughout the book.
Okay.
Checklists. All sorts of things that you can use, and actually you can just highlight in the book or just photocopy and post those lists. I have lists on marketing mixes, you know, what forms of marketing are the best forms for you to use in your own business, and that all involves, I guess, starting right from scratch and deciding who is your market. A lot of people don't assess that. If you want to come up with an ideal client, you need to define who your ideal customer or client is. And once you've narrowed that down, then you can decide, how do I most effectively reach that person? And, you know, there's different forms of medium. There's newspapers or magazines. There's radio and TV. And in some businesses, all of those are great. In some businesses, none of those are effective.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'll go back to that home inspector that I used earlier as the example. typically with home inspectors, their client is somebody who's in the process of purchasing a house. And when they're purchasing the house, when they're filling out their purchase and sale agreement, they would put a clause in that says they want to have a satisfactory home inspection so that they know what the condition of the house is before they move forward. And so for the home inspector who's running their small business to actually go on the TV or the radio and broadcast out to the entire population of maybe a few hundred thousand people in a city, that's very, very expensive. And I can guarantee you that in a city of 300,000 people, a very tiny percentage are actually in the process of moving right now and buying a new home. So to spend your money hitting 300,000 people when maybe only 10,000 of those people are in the process or thinking about moving is very ineffective. And newspapers, same thing. You don't want to hit the masses. Now, that being said, if the newspaper actually has a real estate guide or a real estate section, well, now you're reaching your target market. And so, yeah, part of that process is identifying who the market is and then choosing those methods to reach that market effectively.
Now, in regards to the small businesses that you know, small business owners that will read your book, is that, you know, any kind of a small business, retail, home-based, internet business, will, do you basically touch on all of those in this book?
Yeah, actually, it runs the gamut.
Okay.
And I guess I mentioned earlier, too, about the fact that marketing is marketing. A lot of people will say, but that won't apply to my business. Once you get your head wrapped around the whole concept, you actually start to see things from totally different businesses that you can tweak and modify and adapt into your own. And if you do that, you may be the only one, you may be the only one in your industry actually doing those types of marketing. And that makes you stand head and shoulders above the crowd. You stand out. All of a sudden, you're the red crayon in the box of whites. So people notice you. And so, yeah, actually in the book I touch on retail, on service, and there's a whole section on internet, because that is huge nowadays, is the use of the internet. Whether it's an online business or an offline business, there is use for a website.
Do you think it has a negative effect on a business if they don't somehow utilize the internet, because it is just so widespread at this point?
Oh my goodness, yeah. I mean, you absolutely can't tell where somebody is going to be finding you from. And some people think, well, you know what, I sell retail and I'm right here on Main Street in my town, and I really have no use for a website. With younger people nowadays, they look for everything on the internet.
It's true.
Yeah, it is true. A lot of people, before they would even think of picking up the Yellow Pages, they just go and Google the name of what they're looking for, and all of a sudden, if they find out there's one on Main, it might be the store next to yours that has the website. And you don't, so that, you know, they may not even know you exist.
And so, who looks at Yellow Pages anymore, really?
Exactly, and you know what? By the time somebody does go to the Yellow Pages, they already know what they want. They're just finding out the phone number.
So,
I think there's a tremendous value in using online, and not just a website. Now, a website is extremely important, but just the use of email alone is. If you have a service business, or if you have I'll use a hair salon as an example. This is a good one. As your clients come in, you can start collecting their names and their email addresses. Now, if all of a sudden tomorrow there is a snowstorm or a rain, you know, it's a very rainy day, and your salon is located in a mall and the foot traffic is down that day because of the weather, you can just go to your database of email addresses and send out an email that says that you're running a special today. It's a 50% off special. All of a sudden, you're going to get some traffic in that you wouldn't have got otherwise, because now you've run the special and you've sent it directly to those people that know you, like you, and trust you because they've done business with you before. And so, you know, on a day that would have been a bust, now all of a sudden, at least, you know, maybe you did the work at 50% off, but it's 50% you wouldn't have got otherwise.
Absolutely. That is such a great idea. And, you know, with so many people having their internet access right on the little gadgets that they're having with their phones, or I mean, a lot of people are really accessing the internet that way. That is a brilliant idea.
How many people can see when you're out that have a BlackBerry?
Mm-hmm.
And all of their emails get pushed from their PC to their BlackBerry or their Palm Pilot or whatever device they're carrying that you were talking about. So now all of a sudden you're at work, or maybe you're out having lunch, and you check your BlackBerry and you realize, you know what, my hairstylist is running 50% off. I wasn't going to go till next week, but I'm going today.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, so, and you know, take out hairstylist and put in any name of business and it works.
That's true. That is so fascinating. Okay, so you talk about USP in your book. What exactly is USP?
A USP stands for Unique Selling Proposition. And really what that is that it's what separates you from everybody else. It just tells consumers why they should be doing business with you, and it kind of distinguishes you from all of your competition. And it tells people, why should they use Dave over every other performance development coach out there?
Mm.
And it's a phrase that was coined by Rosser Reeves, I believe it was in the 1950s, but too many people don't do that. It's a Me Too business world out there, and so everybody is operating in the trenches, and nobody, it's sort of like that red crayon in the white box example I used earlier.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way for you to stand out a little bit from everybody else.
Interesting. So how does one apply a USP to their business?
Yeah, actually, in the book itself, I go into great depth on how to come up with the USP,
okay.
how to do surveys and competitor surveys and all that kind of stuff. But if I was to give you the oversimplified version in three simple steps, it would be, you know, just take whatever your business or product or service is and list all of the features of what that provides. Make a list of those things. Now, take that same list and scratch off all of those things that your competitors are saying or stating that they offer. And hopefully you'll end up with a much smaller list. Otherwise, that means that you don't have any competitors. So, so with that smaller list, now you have a list of things that none of your competitors are stating that their service provides. And so you would look at that smaller list and find those, you know, two or three key features of your product or service and use those to write a short, simple statement that says why your prospect or potential client or customer should use you over and above everybody else. And so, yeah, so three steps. Create the list, scratch off the list, all of the things other people are using, take what's left, and create just a simple statement. And what you want to do is use that statement to reach on an emotional level your client, because the buying decision is made on an emotional level. When people buy a brand new car, they buy it because they love the smell of the leather, or they, you know, the sound of the engine running, and they like all the little instrument panel and stuff inside. But then once they've made the buying decision, they justify it later with logic. Oh, well, it had good gas mileage, and I got really good financing. And so that's the justification part. So features and benefits, you want to list all of the benefits that your product provides. Those are the emotional triggers. The features are the logic part later. So
that's really fascinating. Really fascinating information.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Established in 1998, Rebecca's Reads is a book review and publicity service serving a large reading audience as well as a wide community of authors, publishers, publicists, and buyers and sellers. They offer reviews of recently published books as well as chapter readings, teasers, and videos to help you decide what book you would like to read next. Their insightful author interviews take connecting reader and author one step further, and if you decide you would like to purchase a book, an easy-to-navigate link will allow you to purchase the book immediately online. For the authors, publicists, and publishers, Rebecca's Reads has a variety of publicity services to help them market their books to their reading audience. Their services are budget-friendly and effective. For buyers and sellers, they have a monthly list of current reviews in the Book Review Index for easy browsing, as they know your time is precious and efficiency is a priority. Be sure to visit RebeccasReads.com and browse around their new space. Whatever your literary need, this user-friendly website may be just what you're looking for. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Just to remind you, I'm talking today with David Mason, author of Marketing Your Small Business for Big Profits. You can find out more about David through his website, www.yourbigprofits.com. So is that a part of the, like, a business plan, or is that the marketing plan?
That's a little bit of both, actually.
Mm-hmm.
If you're putting a business plan together, you... whoever you're presenting that business plan to, This USP, this unique selling proposition, helps them to understand why this should be a viable business. And it's extremely important in the marketing. Mm. Because what you want to do is you want to take that that USP that you've created, and you can actually take those features that you've, or benefits that you came up with, and tweak it a little bit and come up with maybe two or three different USPs, and then use it in all of your marketing material, your business cards, your website, any emails that you send, your digital signature. You can put that little slogan or your logo in there.
Mm.
And tweak it a little bit, because sometimes your market is differentiated, and you have different. I was talking earlier about your ideal client or customer, and sometimes you have two or three different ideal clients or customers based on, you know, maybe the service that you provide or the product that you sell.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's a range there, and so if you just change it up a little bit, I'll give you an example. There was a pizza company years and years and years ago that came up with just, I think it was an 8-word statement that said, "Fresh hot pizza delivered in 30 minutes guaranteed." And I think you know who I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
And that one simple thing turned them into an empire. They didn't talk about good pizza. They didn't talk about great tasting pizza or anything like that, because probably some of their competitors were saying that's what they offered, you know, Mama's Secret Recipe or something like that.
Right, right.
All they said is that you're going to get fresh pizza and it's going to be there in 30 minutes. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, the college crowd loved that. So,
that's such a good point.
Yeah. So what you have to do is you just have to find out what are those things. And then the other thing to do is put yourself in the shoes of the person you're selling it to. Try to not be the business person for a moment and say, if I was the client, if I was looking for this widget, what would I be looking for in the widget? Or what would I be looking for in the service that's provided when I'm purchasing the widget? And just start telling your prospects those things.
Mm-hmm.
So that you hit those triggers, and
mm-hmm.
they say, all of a sudden, he's speaking directly to me, and this is what I want.
It's so important to put yourself as a business owner in the shoes of your customers. It is really crucial.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So your book refers to a marketing mix. Can you tell us more about what that is and how it's useful?
Yeah, the marketing mix, I kind of mentioned it earlier. It was
mm-hmm.
the different forms of marketing medium. And I guess, you know what, if you were in the market for a car, you wouldn't even dream about walking onto a car lot and finding the first salesperson and saying, you know what, I haven't got a clue what I'm looking for. Can you just pick one out for me?
Mm-hmm.
Not too many people do that.
No.
Otherwise, you know, you get the lemon on the lot, you know, the one they couldn't get rid of.
You're right.
But you know what, unfortunately, so many small business people run their business this way, and the phone rings and they pick it up and it's somebody from the Yellow Pages, for example, saying, you know what, it's time to renew your Yellow Page ad, and we think that based on your competitors that you should have a half-page ad. Go for a bigger one this year, maybe put some bold and put it in a box, and you need more white space, and all of a sudden you fall victim to the opportunist.
Mm.
Keep in mind, too, and I'm not trying to pick on Yellow Page reps or anything of that nature, but generally the people that sell these sorts of advertising spots, they're not professionals in the marketing industry. They're salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get paid based on the size of ad that they sell, the space. They're getting paid on selling the ad space. They don't get paid based on whether the ad worked for you or not. So nobody follows up with you to see if your Yellow Page ad is pulling. They get paid based on the fact that it's in there. So the other thing is sometimes a newspaper salesperson will call and say, you know what, we're doing a feature on housing this week, and as a home inspector, you should have an ad in there, a business card size ad around the feature. And a lot of people would think, well, you know, they are doing a special. That's probably a good option. Put me down for it and send me the bill.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so it goes back to knowing your market. If you know that your market is a certain person, a certain demographic, if you have your marketing plan in place, when somebody calls you up out of the blue with one of these specials, you can look at your plan and say, you know what, that's not on my marketing plan and it doesn't fit into my marketing budget. You know what, it sounds like a great opportunity, but it's just not for me right now. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't fall prey.
Mm. Good point. So why do people typically go into business for themselves? And is this reason, you know, I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to pose it to you anyway. And is it the right reason?
Well, you know what? It really depends on the person. Some people go into business for themselves because they just can't stand working for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we'll use the wrong example first, I guess. People just, you know, they've been from job to job, and it just doesn't seem to work for them. And so they think, well, I'll go into business for myself. I'll be my own boss, and everything will be great. Well, the only problem with that is that, you know, the problem that didn't work at all those other jobs, you took it with you to the
still
business.
There.
Because it was you, yeah. So that would be the wrong reason.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the other reason that people go into business is because they feel that they have something to offer and they have a special way of offering it, and they just like the freedom that comes from being their own boss. They set their own hours. A lot of people realize that, you know, their success, their level of success ultimately depends on them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the harder they bust their butt, sometimes that works out in better results.
And there's no ceiling.
Yes and no, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's a glass ceiling. You don't see it, but you're bumping up against it, and you're wondering, why is it that I just can't seem to get the revenues any higher?
Mm.
And so in order to shatter the glass ceiling, sometimes you need to just reach out for some help that takes you to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Are you seeing the current economic situation that we're kind of seeing in this country right now? Is that it's obviously lowering the rate of spending. I mean, this is, you know, been reported, obviously. Is this a concern? Are you seeing any changes in the amount of small businesses that are being opened or the problems that are happening with small business right now?
Yeah, it. You know what? In recessions, people go broke and other people get rich.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot to be said about, and this actually, it makes a really good argument for marketing. Some people look at the recession as, it's terrible, this is a bad thing, nobody's spending money anymore, and this is it, I may as well pack up my toys and go home. Other people look at it and they see it as an opportunity. You know what? My competitors are all going out of business. This is my opportunity to shine.
Mm.
And so depending on how you see things, are you a positive person or a negative person, the recession is just another, it's just another time. The money's still there. It's just in different pockets.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe it's time for you to shift to maybe a more affluent market. Maybe it's time, instead of for you to lower your prices, to raise your prices and put a different spin on the products and services that you offer.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though, yes, there is less people out there spending money, there is probably just as much or more money being spent. It's just being spent differently.
So this would be a good time then to reassess the marketing plan?
Yeah, certainly. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard of this analogy before, but the person who was had watches for sale at the jewelry store, and they weren't selling at $10 a piece, and so instead of dropping the price, they raised the price and they sold out. The reason being that the consumer thought they were more valuable because the price tag was higher, and so they couldn't get enough of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so sometimes just by accident you luck into an opportunity, and so yeah, again, I guess it's all in the way you frame it. If you see recession as being a bad thing, then that's what you're going to get.
Mm.
If you see recession as being an opportunity, then guess what you're going to find? You're going to find opportunities.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So are there, at this point, any trends towards which areas small businesses are extremely successful? You know, like, from what I've heard, like, alternative health businesses are doing really good, computer industry, obviously. What trends do you see?
You know what? I see a lot of service businesses.
Mm-hmm.
People, there's so much availability, and we talked earlier about the Internet. You know, everybody goes to the Internet and Googles what they're looking for now. And so it has made business become a more global environment. And, you know, with the advent of things like Amazon and Barnes & Noble and .coms, you know, the eBay, it's easier to put your fingers onto things, and they can come from just about anywhere. And I think that technology is playing a bigger role in businesses, but I don't necessarily, I wouldn't necessarily rule out conventional business. It's just I think that the conventional business needs to implement the technology, and that's happening, and the people that are doing that are becoming successful.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, rather than me saying the trend is towards getting away from conventional brick-and-mortar businesses and moving more towards home offices and online businesses, which, you know, that's certainly happening, but there's just as much opportunity for the small retail store to thrive, but to diversify. Instead of having all the eggs in one basket, they also have a direct mail component to their business, and they also have an online component to their business. A lot of companies, and I'll say this myself, I'm sitting here looking at a rock salt lamp that I have that was actually mined from the foothills of the Himalayas.
Uh-huh.
It's in my office, and it's salt that's 250 million years old, and I bought it from a company on eBay whose store I actually went to online, but I got it through eBay cheaper.
Really?
Same store.
Yeah.
I bought it through the same store, but I got it on eBay cheaper than I got it through the store. Now, the store was smart because they got my business either way.
Yes.
And so they're actually a brick-and-mortar store, but they have an online presence. So.
That is a really good point. So that's just implementing what you've been talking about right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Huh.
Yeah. And so, yeah, rather than me saying this is the trend towards this or that, I think the trend right now is to implement, you know, the technology that's available at everybody's fingertips today.
Good point. So from a business owner's standpoint, like I own a business, talk to us about confidence. How important is it for me to be confident in my product, my business, the work that I'm doing, that I'm putting this out into the public?
Yeah, I'll give you an example. You know what? People do business with other people. As much as we all have businesses and we like to have our business name and we brand the business and all that kind of stuff, ultimately people do business with people. And they do business with people they know, like, and trust. And so, and it happens on all three of those levels to some degree. And so when I mentioned that company that I chose them because I'd seen them somewhere else. I was able to research them and get more information about the product that I was buying. And so on some level, I felt like I knew the company, I liked the company, and I trusted the company. So I knew, like, and trusted them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes to confidence, if you're a service person and you don't believe in yourself, why should I? Why should I believe in you?
Mm-hmm.
If you can't tell me what your price is for your service without looking at your feet or looking away from me and not making eye contact, or if you laugh when you say your price,
right,
then I absolutely am not going to have faith in you.
Yes.
But if you can say what you charge with the utmost of confidence and self-esteem, then I'm going to believe that you're worth it because you know you're worth it. And so, yeah, I think that comes across at all levels of your business, not just in the price. I was just using that as an example.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everybody likes to do business with somebody that they feel is confident with, you know, the products or services that they're providing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you're a personal development coach.
Mm-hmm.
How useful is it for a small business owner to take on a coach like yourself?
Yeah, I'll use it. Well, yeah, I'll back up a step and start here. If I said I was a football coach or a hockey coach or a soccer coach, literally everybody would know what I was talking about. When I say I'm a performance development coach, you lose a lot of people.
Yeah, right. Uh-oh.
Looks. And some people, they wouldn't have a clue what I was talking about, but they would feel uncomfortable asking me because they didn't want to look silly.
Mm-hmm.
So just to define it, performance development is just a means of growth or advancement in the way you act or carry out feats of accomplishment. Now, that sounds like a really technical example, but essentially what I do is no different than the athletic coach. Instead of working with athletes, though, in this case, I work with small business owners or entrepreneurs, and I help them to take their business and their life to the next level. Now, to qualify that, what I do is only going to be successful with somebody who knows that they have the potential to have more success.
Mm.
So we get back to that confidence thing again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you don't think that you are worthy of success, if you don't think that you possibly stand a chance of becoming successful, then you won't. I think it was Henry Ford that says, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. So,
great quote.
Same thing applies.
Mm-hmm.
But if and this is the promise that I make to everybody, if you're willing to do the work, I guarantee you will see results.
Mm.
And so when I work with people, I actually don't work with just anybody who can fog up a mirror and has a credit card. I actually qualify them first to find out, are their expectations realistic or not? Because, you know, on the other side of that confidence coin is the person who thinks that they can make $1 million by Wednesday. And you know what? Sometimes you can because you're in the right position, but in most cases...
Blog Talk Radio.